today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friends. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about consultation in Islam. Today, Wednesday, is the 23rd of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran. We'll listen to chapter Shura, verse 38.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
And those who have responded to their Lord and established prayer, and whose affair is determined by consultation among themselves, and from what we have provided them, they spend.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse lays emphasis on consultation in the administration of society, hence the designation of the chapter Shura, consultation. In a hadith we read, consult with those who are truthful and have no attachments. Reveal your secrets unto them so that they may present their comprehensive and complete opinions. Consultation with the benevolent wise leads to growth and divine blessing. Regarding your affairs, consult with one who possesses five excellences: sensibility, knowledge, experience, benevolence, and fear of Allah Almighty.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is consultation in Islam. There is no doubt on the importance of consultation in Islam. Those who enjoy intellectual and social growth consult with others. The faithful never enter a work unless they consult, and this characteristics indicates their vigilance in affairs. The great exegete of the Holy Quran, Allama Tabatabai, may Allah keep his soul in peace, referring to Ayah 38 of Surah Shura, which says, and their affairs are by counsel among themselves. Reminds that the faithful are the people with grown minds, and they refer to people of intellect for making proper decision. And as a result, the holy ayah's meaning is close to Ayah 18 of chapter Zumar, which says, "Who listen to the word and follow the best of it." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role and effect of consultation in Islam. In the life and times of the infallible Imams, we find that, for example, the seventh infallible Imam, Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, wanted to receive the consultation and suggestions of his own colored servant. And that colored servant knew well that, I mean, he was the seventh infallible Imam and he was the embodiment of all God-given and God-granted knowledge. So he said, "Well, I'm not in such a position to suggest anything to you. You are the most learned of all people right now." He said, "No. Sometimes the right word may be pronounced by you. I mean, the right word may come out of your mind. So I want to have your consultation." We find this training that if someone doesn't receive consultations of other people, other figures, or other, I mean, personalities, it may later on, I mean, little by little, gradually, it may take, I mean, a person to a sense of, to developing a sense of arrogance, a sense of being both arrogant and ignorant, I mean, at the same time. Ignorant because, I mean, this person hasn't received, I mean, suggestions of others. Arrogant because he doesn't want to receive such suggestions and, I mean, consultation and so on. This one is because we have to train ourselves, okay, not to behave selfishly, not to behave snobbishly. And at the same time, in the Holy Quran, it's indicated that, I mean, this consultation was really a practice of great sages in the world, and on top of them, the divinely dispatched prophets, such as, for example, the prophet Abraham, who was, I mean, really a great divine prophet.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The right of him who seeks your counsel. Imam Sajjad states, "And the right of him who seeks your counsel is that you should give him your counsel as much as you think he can bear. And you should talk with him with such gentle words that he listens to you, and you should use such words that his intellect can understand. This is because for each person's intellect there is a certain way of talking that he can comprehend and respond to. You should choose having mercy as your course of action, and there is no power but in Allah." In short, Imam Sajjad states that one who seeks counsel has the right to be advised as much as he can bear to hear. Advice should be given gently to help the listener accept it. One should also be kind when giving someone some advice. Giving counsel and wishing well are among the important topics stressed in Islam. The Quran has stressed that the divine prophets are social counselors.
"I see you in the wings that chase the night, circling the warmth of candlelight. I hear you in the wind as the two poles spin, whispering the truth your heart holds in. I feel you in the chill as the seasons turn, laying down a seed with its lessons learned. The circle spins a perfect line, free from borders, free from time. I close my eyes and clear my mind. The circle joins your love with mine.
Imam Ali's Viewpoints on Counselor. This is the title of this part. Once Abdullah ibn Abbas sought Imam Ali's advice and was in disagreement with the advice given to him by the commander of the faithful. Imam Ali said, "It is up to you to give me your advice. But whenever my advice is in disagreement with what you think, you must obey me." In another tradition, we read, Ali ibn Mahziyar narrated that Imam Baqir wrote him a letter and asked him to tell so-and-so to consult with him, but choose to do what they themselves think is best to do, since they are better aware of the conditions of their own town. This is because consultation is blessed, and Allah has ordered the Prophet in the Holy Quran to consult with the people, but make a decision himself as to what is best to do and rely on Allah after he makes up his mind. Then if what the advisor says is correct, you can benefit from his advice. And if it is not correct, you can hope to guide him in the straight path with Allah's will. When it is said, seek their advice in the first, it is meant seek the good.
That there is no shura, God is not going to consult the people regarding that matter, is the concept of what? Imama and Khilafah. Because someone tells me that for a country in Islam, do you want God to appoint the president? No. No, God doesn't appoint a president. God says, you, the people, you decide. This is a small office, limited office. We are speaking about Imam and Khilafah, which is universal, not regional or local, universal. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama, for mankind, not just for this country or that country. Here, the difference between the two schools, the school of Ahlul Bayt and the school of the companions, is that we believe that this office is not opened for shura or consultation. And this is exactly what the greatest scholars of Sunnis acknowledge. I'll read for you what Al-Imam al-Razi. Razi is the greatest ever Sunni scholar, mufassir of the Quran, exegist on the Quran, the Razi. Tafsir al-Razi is the greatest. He says in his book, he says, when God sent a text and he says, you have to do this, we cannot contest that or counter it with our own opinion, with our own ijtihad. Ijtihad means juristic reasoning, the reason of the jury, the reason of someone who's expert. You cannot counter it, because there is text there. God says, I am telling you to do this. You can't come and say, let's open it for consultation. I have given you the answer. My answer is very plain, very clear. You have to do this. So you can't open it for discussion. And one of these areas is the area of Khilafah and Imam. Where is the evidence? Some people are going to ask you about the evidence. Where is the evidence that the imam has to be appointed by God, or the caliph has to be appointed by God, and there is no room for consultation or shura? The evidence is in the Quran, in chapter Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 68. وَرَبُّكَ, listen to this, وَرَبُّكَ, your Lord, يَخْلُقُ, creates, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاء, whatever he likes, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, and he chooses for leadership. Our imams, the imams of Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Baqir and Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi wa salatu wa salam, they say the term choose means for leadership, for imam.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we join you in another episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world, cause I'm a believer.